You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW FM 91.7 in San Francisco. I'm Jeff Hayden. Tonight on Your Legal Rights, welcome to Bankruptcy and Debtors' Rights 101. My guests tonight are Leon Bayer, a longtime participant in Your Legal Rights and Call a Lawyer, also a certified bankruptcy law specialist from the California Board of Legal Specialization, State Bar of California, and Ryan Wood from the law offices of Lynn Wood in Redwood City. Ryan is also an experienced, longtime bankruptcy lawyer. They bring a lot to the show. I'd like to welcome both of my guests. If you have questions for my guests, our phone number here, right in the studio, is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Or if you're outside of the local dialing area, outside of San Francisco, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. And again, that's 866-798-8255. Ryan, Leon, let me welcome both of you to Your Legal Rights.
Hey, thank you very much. It's so great to be back on the air with you. Chuck Finney is much missed, I'm sure, by all the listeners, but you're a fantastic replacement.
I was going to say amen to that when you spoke of Chuck. I'll still say it, but I appreciate your thoughts and your wishes. And Ryan, welcome as well. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, and good evening. Thank you for having me.
And I'd like to start here. So I'm in way, way over my head with debt, with creditors. What's my next move?
Jeff, I'm so sorry you're going through these problems. You kept it to yourself.
Well, my creditors might differ with you. Actually, listeners know I've been making things first person. It's a great way to illustrate stuff, but sometimes people think I have problems with my neighbors, I have kids that are in trouble, and now that I'm hopelessly in debt, let me make the record clear. I have great relationships with my neighbors, I don't have kids, and no, I'm not in terrible debt, but I know there's a lot of people hurting out there. And
that's okay.
If
Jeff,
I were one of those
Ryan
folks, what would I do?
I do not want you as a client.
Well, if my fortunes change, I will remember that.
Okay. So you're in debt over your head, hypothetically speaking. People will call a bankruptcy lawyer, I think, when their back is to the wall and they have reached the realization that they are not going to solve this debt problem on their own and without doing something very radical. Usually it happens when someone is besieged with debt collection phone calls, perhaps served with a wage garnishment, process server knocks on your door and has a lawsuit from MasterCard that they want to deliver to you. So those are the things that really prompt somebody to finally make the phone call and reach out to a bankruptcy lawyer. Ryan, I'm wondering what kind of situations you find makes people more often than not pick up the phone and call a bankruptcy lawyer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the unfortunate service of a lawsuit a lot of times, or extreme harassment from a creditor, unfortunately, really, really aggressive collection. And prior to that, they might bury the head in the sand a little bit, unfortunately, and that's a problem. I think the best thing for people is to, you know their numbers. If they're feeling like they're overwhelmed, they may not really know their expenses and what they're paying and that sort of thing. And take a look at that before they get that knock at the door or the wage garnishment like you're mentioning, and be a little more proactive if possible. But
oh, absolutely proactive. You know, I think bankruptcy law and lawyers handling debt relief, we have a situation on our hands that is very much like dentistry. Many people will suffer from toothache and all kinds of dental problems and sore gums and bleeding gums, and you know, it doesn't really go away by itself. Then it gets to the dentist, and people who are suffering with debt problems, they hang in there way too long. They inflict at a certain level too much suffering on themselves by putting it off, because most people can get out of debt if they need to.
Absolutely.
So I certainly encourage people to stop suffering in silence. You're not alone. There's, you know, More than 500,000 people every year will file a bankruptcy case. Almost all of them will get the relief that they need. And the bankruptcy laws are very generous to people. For most people, bankruptcy court is not a thing you need to be afraid of. You know, it's like a long time ago, I needed a lot of dental work, and I was very uptight, and the dentist, I was making the dentist uptight because I'd be clutching the arms of the chair, the dental chair, so tightly, and I looked like, you know, I was going to die. And my dentist said, Leon, let anesthesia be your friend. So, ladies and gentlemen out in the audience, if you have debt problems, let a bankruptcy lawyer be your friend. You come into the office, we don't judge you, we help you. This is our career and our profession, and we're all very passionate about doing that and helping you. So don't be afraid to call a lawyer.
And, of course, we understand you're using a euphemism, and there's no reason you would use anesthesia in your office. But that being said, how do I know when it's time to consult an attorney?
That's a great question. Let's pitch this one to Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, when you feel the stress, you're not able to sleep. It's truly affecting the quality of your life. And, you know, time and time again, people come in and you can tell the pressure is on them. They feel it. And part of the relief or part of this process is for, you know, someone in that position to understand and know that they don't have to keep suffering, like you mentioned, and to get the knowledge and understanding and be comfortable with this process. Even if they don't choose to file bankruptcy at that moment, at least they came in, received some knowledge and education about the process, and that relief alone, hopefully they walk out of the office and can go about their daily life with at least some knowledge and know that there's help, and they don't have to keep suffering, like you mentioned. But
yeah.
People have trouble sleeping. It truly affects the quality of life, and that's not good for anybody, especially them.
Medical science has proven definitively that sleep is a good thing to get. And Ryan is just so right. So most of my clients tell me they can't sleep. They wake up in the middle of the night. They can't fall asleep. They suffer stomach pains and indigestion, all kinds of things. It's just it has them wound up in knots. And, you know, finally, a person just can't take it anymore. Well, why let it go to that level when you know you're hurting? Call a bankruptcy lawyer. We're all friendly guys and gals. And getting people out of debt more or less painlessly is what we do. And it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg to file a bankruptcy. And don't think that the lawyer fees are unaffordable, because it's probably a whole lot less than what you're paying out in an average month just covering your different creditors.
You mentioned about people that stick their head in the sand or wait too long. Are there times when it's advantageous to come earlier rather than later? Are there things that you can do or rights that are lost if you wait too long?
If you wait too long, it can deprive your lawyer of the ability to do some pre-bankruptcy planning. For example, to perhaps advise you on things you could do that might help salvage your credit a lot faster. It may be possible to give a client advice on how to take assets that might not be protected in a bankruptcy case and shift them over to the other side of the table into assets that will be protected. And then certainly there's people who, I have a client who came in recently, he's had wage garnishment for a year, for 1 year he's had his wages garnished every paycheck. And that money's gone. And he's filing bankruptcy now finally anyway, because the money that he misses out of his paycheck is really necessary for the basic household expenses. He couldn't take it anymore. But he waited a whole year enduring this torture. It's completely unnecessary.
Yeah, one of my pet peeves is somebody taking a large retirement account loan and gutting their retirement to try and fix a problem that they weren't going to entirely fix in the real world, when we can protect every penny of that money in bankruptcy.
Money in a retirement plan, and a qualified retirement plan, is absolutely sacred in a bankruptcy case. You don't have to, it does not get taken from you.
And that's one of the big things. So the sooner someone understands, and I can tell them that every penny of that is going to be protected. I know it was hard earned. You sucked it away, even though you're in financial turmoil, and it can be protected in this process. So do not take that loan. That's one of the big things that I don't like to see. And they've paid a significant amount of money to maybe two or three creditors, but they just stopped the bleeding. They didn't actually heal the patient or save the life.
And a lot of times they'll take a loan on their retirement plan, pay off debts, and charge the debts back up again. I've had so many clients over the years, especially back when mortgages, second mortgages, equity loans on your house were really easy to get, and they would get these big consolidation loans, pay off all their debts, and a few years later, the credit cards would be all charged back up to where they were. The equity in the house that would have been protected probably in a bankruptcy is now been turned into debt that they must pay in order to keep their house, and that money was diverted to debts that they could have discharged in a bankruptcy. So, yeah, you can wait too long, and we see it. We see that for real. It happens a lot.
One of the things that you were both saying in the last few minutes, Leon, you made reference to medical science, and Ryan, you made reference to bleeding. Well, as somebody who's been to a medical provider within the past maybe hour, it begs the question, what can you guys do with medical liens?
Jeff, I think you ought to tell the audience what you have suffered in the past hour and a half and the devotion you have to the program to get here in spite of your suffering and your accident.
Well, I wasn't going to bring it up, but I did have my own personal little slip and fall today. Maybe I should revise this program on personal injury, except that I would be on both ends of that equation since I did it in my own home. But literally, I was discharged from urgent care about an hour ago. And raced up here, got here about 6:30 or 6:35 tonight, and we're on the air.
Yeah, and you broke your foot, is that right?
No, I actually broke my leg, but yes.
A broken leg.
Essentially correct.
You limped into the studio with a broken leg because the show must go on.
Yes, the show must go on. That is dedication.
Well, but when somebody said, Jeff, get in there and break a leg, you weren't supposed to really do it.
You mean they were kidding?
Yes.
Yes, we do use euphemisms around these parts. But let's talk a little bit about medical liens. Tell me how somebody picks up a medical lien and what you can do about it.
Medical liens, you mean you're referring to a lien on a active personal injury claim, or?
No, let me back up a little bit. When I was in law school, I did a lot of work in poverty law. And one of the things we came across, the most frequent one, was somebody who perhaps is a Medicare client that joined an HMO and didn't make the connection that that's where you've got to go for your health care. So they essentially go into a different medical provider. They get treatment somewhere where their insurance isn't going to cover, and they start getting liens and judgments and various things that creditors will do to pursue the debt. And they did secure the service, but they went to the wrong place, so their insurance doesn't cover. So what can you do about debts like that?
Yeah, it's a big problem, and it's a common problem. A lot of people who file bankruptcy have serious medical debt issues. And in the first place, let's break it up into two different parts. You as the patient, you owe the money. Okay, you have personal liability. But if you have tangible assets like a home and the creditor has sued you, they can then record a judgment lien against your house. They could get a writ of execution for the judgment, and be able to levy money out of your bank accounts and perhaps seize or execute the judgment against other kinds of assets. And the bankruptcy has very important remedies for these kinds of things. And I'm sure Ryan has a lot of experience with avoiding liens in a bankruptcy case that have already been attached against people's exempt property.
Yeah, it's a big deal here in the Northern District of California in the Bay Area with in Chapter 13s and avoiding. But then, as you mentioned, Chapter 7, involuntary liens like that, yeah, under 522F, they can be avoided. It's not a too terribly complicated motion. And that's something that, you know, unfortunately somebody has waited, kind of touches on what we mentioned earlier about not waiting. So that person waited until they were sued for whatever reason, may not have done much about it or done anything about it, and the creditor got a judgment. And then they actually took the step of recording it against the property. So what we really want to do is hopefully speak to that person before that lien attaches to the asset and help them out before that. If we can't, bankruptcy is extremely powerful to get rid of those things. That's one of the huge, huge powers of bankruptcy is to put someone in a better position in the bankruptcy world rather than the real world.
Let me just share with the audience. I've been doing bankruptcy law for 39 years, and I can tell you it has been my experience every year of every one of those, every day of every one of those years. The bankruptcy court is a pretty much friendly place to the honest but broke debtor. It is not such a friendly place to creditors. And it is really, the laws are pretty lopsided in favor of people who owe money. If you're in debt and you owe money, bankruptcy should not be a scary place for you. If you get the right advice and you get it in a timely manner, you find out what your legal rights are. You notice I just worked in the name of the show, your legal rights.
Thank you for the plug.
Yes. And really, the key to this is, you know, go to an experienced lawyer. Experienced bankruptcy lawyers do not charge fees that their clients can't afford. If bankruptcy lawyers charged fees that the clients couldn't pay, the lawyers would be out of business. So, in fact, many bankruptcy lawyers will even give people a completely free consultation. You can't walk into a doctor's office usually and get, a free medical checkup, but you can go into the office of many bankruptcy lawyers and have a completely free legal checkup. And it's in your interest to do that when you have debt problems. And you know you have a debt problem when you can't pay everything you owe when it's due. If you have to skip something, you know you've got a problem. If you have to skip a car payment, be late on a car payment, or be late on your rent, you are in really serious trouble. And these are some of the key warning signs. If you get a phone call from a bill collector, you have a serious problem. In other words, your credit's already getting wrecked anyway, and you may as well find out if you have the legal right, the legal privilege of erasing the troublesome debts. You don't have to live with it.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the credit score and the credit report, and that was another thing to hopefully someone not to wait, right? Why go through months and months and months of maybe late or missed payments to hammer a credit score unnecessarily? And that's one of, I think, the big myths is that everyone wants to ask me about their credit score. And sadly, the damage is probably done by the time they get to me. And it didn't happen overnight. And to rebuild that credit score, it's not going to happen overnight either. But unfortunately, you know, most people wait so long that they've already done so much damage to their credit score already that the bankruptcy is probably not going to hurt that much at all. And everyone thinks their credit score is going to go through the floor upon filing bankruptcy. And That's not really true. The parameters change actually in their favor to help rebuild their credit. The debt-to-income ratio improves immensely. And then they're able to pay what they do have on time, every time, and rebuild their credit score and move on to a happier place in life.
The sooner you've made that correction, the sooner you can build.
Let me share something with you, and that is something I've discovered absolutely accidentally, and that is if you have a really good credit score and you're current on all your debts at the time you file the bankruptcy, your score doesn't drop that much and you bounce back rather quickly. There's no rule and there's no law that says you have to be hopelessly delinquent on everything before you file a bankruptcy case. If you meet the requirements for filing a bankruptcy, and this may be a little bit of an oversimplification, but you're going to be eligible for the standard bankruptcy, what we bankruptcy lawyers refer to as Chapter 7, the kind of bankruptcy that can just wipe out your debts, or most debts, without you having to pay them. The requirements basically are that you incurred your debts under honest, good faith circumstances, and that we can establish through the court system that you are unable to pay them back at any time in the very foreseeable future. You meet those requirements, and almost everybody does who has any kind of a debt problem, you're going to be eligible for a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. It's an enormous fresh start to enjoy. It's a legal privilege, and it's a privilege that should not be thrown away.
Tonight on Your Legal Rights, it's Bankruptcy and Debtors' Rights 101. I'm Jeff Hayden. My guests tonight are Ryan Wood, the law offices of Lynn and Wood in Redwood City, and Leon Baer, certified bankruptcy law specialist in Los Angeles. If you have questions for my guests, our phone number in the studio is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of the local dialing area, if they're outside of San Francisco, use our toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. Karen from Berkeley, welcome. You're on Your Legal Rights.
Yes, good evening. So I went through a period, a long time ago, where I got into debt and, several credit cards, all that other stuff. And the credit rating agencies that give you your credit score do not take into consideration whether you've never missed a rent payment or a utility payment or a water payment or a garbage pickup payment. That doesn't enter into it, and I want to know why.
Okay, Karen, it's a great question. And, in a sense, I really understand where you're coming from, because the things that you're managing on a correct level, on a regular basis, you're not getting any good credit for it. But the reason why a credit score exists is to tell prospective lenders that you might apply to get some new credit. It tells them how you have handled the actual credit obligations that you've had in the past. And
okay,
that's how they rank a prospective borrower as to whether or not you're qualified to receive the credit that you would like to have.
Okay. All right.
And Karen, also, there's are ways for your rent to be now counted towards your credit score. There's third-party entities, and wherever you rent from may not participate, and there may be some problems with that. But there are companies out there. It's a third party. You pay the rent to them, and they do report to the credit bureaus. So that is possible for that on-time rent payment to help rebuild your credit or build your credit. If you do a few searches, you will find that exists. It may not be for your landlord or whoever you're renting from, but it is possible, whereas 5-10 years ago, that wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you.
Ryan, do you have any idea what those kind of services charge for that?
I don't. It's been a while since I actually did a search for it, but like Karen, that's a really great question or a point to point out, and we had a client that was asking about it, and he's like, let me take a look. I'm sure there's a percentage, but, it could be priceless if that's the only thing someone has going to rebuild their credit. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Karen, thank you for joining us in Your Legal Rights.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
And while we're in Berkeley, David from Berkeley, you're on your legal rights. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. A few years ago when Leon Baer was on the program with Chuck, I suggested to a close friend of mine that she take Chuck up on the offer to have a free phone consultation with Leon. I think the next day he had office hours or something like that. And Mr. Baer gave my friend some excellent advice. She had accumulated credit card debt in, I think, about the low five figures, maybe somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000. And Leon suggested to her that perhaps she was not the best candidate to file for bankruptcy, even though she had gotten some encouragement and some advice from other friends and family members to do so. She subsequently was able to contact a consumer credit nonprofit organization and get some excellent counseling about ways that she could gradually pay off her debt without going into bankruptcy. And she was able to do that, and the advice was really excellent, and she is really quite grateful both to the consumer credit organization and also to Leon Baer for suggesting that she do that. So I'm wondering if maybe your guests could talk a little bit about people who may be in a similar circumstance, who might be kind of in a borderline situation, might be eligible for bankruptcy, but maybe that's not quite the best alternative for them.
Yeah, well, David, you're so kind to call, to take your time and call, and I appreciate the kind words. You really made my evening here.
Great.
I spoke to someone similar to your friend this morning, and a young woman, she owes about $5,000 of debt, credit card debt, having struggling to pay it, struggling to meet normal living expenses, and she was interested in filing a bankruptcy. And I sort of talked her out of it, and I explained to her that this is really more of lifestyle choices. She's a struggling actress, making very little money. Yeah, and she's passionate about her career, but at the same time, you got to get a day job every now and then in order to keep the wolves away from the door. I don't think it's a very good idea for most people to get into a bankruptcy case over just $5,000. Bankruptcy is a privilege. You don't get to pull that ripcord anytime you might need it. If you've had a bankruptcy case in the last, a bankruptcy discharge under Chapter 7 in the last 8 years, you have to wait until it's been more than 8 years from the prior bankruptcy Chapter 7 in order to get a discharge in another case. For people that have gone through a Chapter 7 bankruptcy maybe 4 or 5 years ago and they find themselves in debt again, they might be eligible for a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, which could bring them very substantial debt relief. But it's far more complicated than a Chapter 7. And I think most of us in this field, rather than trying to sell people a bankruptcy case so that we can make some money off of them, I think most of us steer people away from filing a bankruptcy unless they have a much worse debt problem on their hands.
Yeah, and I'd add to that that when someone has $10,000 to $15,000 in debt, it's much more viable or likely that they could work something out to do maybe a cash lump sum payment to settle that sort of thing. And there's other alternatives. When you get into $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, maybe you can work something out with one creditor. But again, you're just stopping the bleeding and you're not permanently healing the patient when you do that. And then that person's out, a significant sum of money and they actually haven't solved the problem.
Yeah, I strongly believe there's no point trying to strike a bargain or a settlement with one creditor. If you can't make them all happy, you're just throwing your money away.
Absolutely.
David, thank you. I appreciate you joining us tonight, and I hope that was of some help.
Thank you
and
very much.
If anybody is wondering, yes, Leon is with us almost every month following the Call a Lawyer program. I can't state that strongly enough how much we appreciate his contribution, both during the time that Chuck was here with us, and he's continued that tradition right through today, and we greatly appreciate it. I see we have calls lined up. Bill and Mia, if you could Bear with us a moment. We will be right back. This is Your Legal Rights on KALW FM 91.7 in San Francisco. We'll be with you right after this.
Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's lawyer referral service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information.
And again, tonight on Your Legal Rights, it's Bankruptcy and Debtors' Rights 101. I'm Jeff Hayden, and my guests tonight are Leon Baer, Certified Bankruptcy Law Specialist, and Ryan Wood from the law offices of Lynn and Wood in Redwood City, also a long-term experienced bankruptcy law specialist. If you have questions for my guests, our phone number to us in the studio is 415-841-4134. If you're calling from outside of San Francisco, call us on our toll-free number. That's 866-798-8255. Again, that's 866-798-8255. Bill from San Francisco, welcome. You're on Your Legal Rights.
Well, I'm glad you made it in today, despite the fact that you injured yourself, and I'm glad you didn't have to chew off your leg.
Thank you. Not caught in that trap yet.
I'm on SSDI. I have a student loan of something in the neighborhood of $18,000 to $20,000. My SSDI covers just about my rent, and I have an additional about $1,000 in loans from friends and family. At this point in time, I'm 61 years old. I have officially 24% disability. It's actually closer to probably 40 or 45, including chemical sensitivity, asthma, Dipchen's contractures in both hands, also blocked coronary artery. And at this point, even though I've tried to get part-time work, regular part-time work, the kind of things that I'm getting are gig work. And so I'm probably bringing in about $10,000 a year on my own,
yeah,
over and above.
It's really rough. Nobody can really live on just what they get.
Did
alone
I say I'm in
Social
San
Security.
Francisco?
Who is the lender on that student loan?
That was through originally a government thing, and now it's gone over to collectors.
Is it still owned by a government agency?
Yes.
U.S. Department of Education?
Yes.
Okay. You are in such good luck, Bill, that you're listening tonight and that you called this program. Because you're totally permanently disabled, you should be able to have the
Department of Education. I'm not permanently disabled.
Forgive
your loan
entirely.
I'm not totally and permanently disabled. That's part of the problem.
I'm sorry, couldn't hear you there.
I'm not totally and permanently disabled, and that's been, you know, I feel like I've been in purgatory.
You have convinced the Social Security Administration that you are permanently disabled and that you cannot engage in a meaningful livelihood. That's why you're getting SSDI. You should.
I thought I reached a certain bar of challenges to employment.
Well, look, it's a very hard thing for many people to say, I am disabled. But you have convinced Social Security that you are disabled. So let's run with that and let it do you the good that it can do. And part of that good is you can contact the U.S. Department of Education, and you can apply for forgiveness of your loan, show them proof that you get SSDI, and it's a no-brainer. I think you'll get the loan completely forgiven.
Yeah, and I echo that. And also, there's a lot of good programs out there now, income-based repayment, IBR, and they're going to look at your income and the source of your income, even if for whatever reason the forgiveness doesn't work out, which I agree, you should absolutely look into that. But again, income-based repayment, based upon your income, there's really not much of a repayment that you'll probably be able to make. And there's also a statute of limitations. It gets extremely complicated on student loans and the collectability. But statute of limitations does run out on their legal rights to collect from you at some point. With student loans, it, again, does get extremely complicated. But there are wonderful programs in the real world for student loans these days. Bankruptcy, unfortunately, it's a pretty steep standard. There's something called the Bruner test and undue hardship. And, you know, for you, that's just not something to go to.
Yeah, Bill.
Use what you have.
You, it should be a very easy process where you have your physician sign a statement saying that you're disabled and you show them the proof of the SSDI. You don't need to have this hanging over your head anymore. I want you to do
But when I, you know, when I talk with my doctors, it's like you're not permanently and totally disabled.
Well, but you are. That's why you get Social Security.
Well, okay.
You know,
thanks
you don't
so
want
much.
To call yourself a disabled person, but that's the reality. And that's why Social Security pays you the SSDI. So you are in the position where, you know, if you want to stand on your pride, go ahead and stay in debt for your student loan. But you have the ability to have it forgiven if you will care to do that.
Well, thank you so much.
Bill, thank you.
It's not that I haven't thought about this before and talked to people before, but, you know, I was under the impression that you have to be totally and permanently disabled,
you
as
not
in
have
not
to be
being able to work at all.
And I have represented many people who are disabled because of serious mental illnesses, so it doesn't have to be physical. I don't know what else to tell you. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. If you don't want to apply for the relief, the remedy that it sounds like you're absolutely entitled to, that's on you.
Well, I'm going to go to the trough.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Bill,
well,
thank you for joining us.
We made a believer out of Bill.
Excellent. We have one more to go. Mia from San Francisco, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yes. Hello, everyone. I'm calling because I am concerned about how an eviction that I'm fighting as a San Francisco resident, and I have a good attorney who is helping me on that, but we are fighting, and I hear all of these rumors about how that will impact my credit rating. And I do also have credit debt. And the reason why I'm able to pay my monthly bills is because I live in my rent-controlled apartment and I make a pretty humble living. But if I don't know if this is a good question for the panel, because I understand that the subject tonight is bankruptcy and credit rating and such, but I am haunted. The eviction is pretty clearly fraudulent. So the new landlord has changed their story many times. And I worry about how this will read in the future, that I fought it and that it will show up on my credit reporter if I ever try to rent an apartment again.
Let me take a stab at this.
Okay.
If you lose and the court makes a judgment of unlawful detainer against you, it is going to be very hard on your credit to the extent, not so much with credit cards and things like that, but with future prospective landlords
right.
just don't want to do business with somebody that has a history of being evicted.
Right.
So okay. Hopefully you have a strong defense. You've said you've got a good lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess all we can do is wish you well with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Without telling us who the lawyer was, don't mention the name, but was it one of ours?
Tenderloin Housing Clinic.
Excellent.
Very good lawyer. Very, very calm. Very thoughtful. Not a pit bull. Not a formulaic. Doesn't love the sound of his own voice. He's a chess player. Sorry. Thank you.
Mia, thank you for joining us, and good luck.
Good night, and thank you.
You know, if Bill, there's another call working its way to us, and while it's on its way, let me ask you, if Bill were 100% disabled, does that change the formula any?
No. He is considered 100% disabled by the Social Security Administration, but the rules do allow a person to earn something like $11,000 or $12,000 a year without it affecting their right to collect the federal disability. So you don't have to be fully incapacitated. You can still be a functioning human being and be disabled.
And given his age and his income, there's just a number of ways for him to get relief that it seems that he's not truly going down the road or drinking the water from the trough. So hopefully, if Bill, you're still listening, you do that, and you'll get the relief you're entitled to and deserve.
Yeah.
You're listening to Your Legal Rights, where tonight it's Bankruptcy and Debtors' Rights 101. I'm Jeff Hayden with my guests tonight, Leon Bayer, Certified Bankruptcy Law Specialist, and Ryan Wood from the law offices of Lynn & Wood in Redwood City. If you have questions for my guests, our phone number here in the studio is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of San Francisco, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. Once again, that's 866-798-8255. Elkhorn from San Francisco, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yes. Hang on a second. I have a question. I was looking at my credit score, and I noticed about a year ago it dropped by about 50 points. And investigating that a bit further, I noticed that I had gone from a credit depth of 18 years to a credit depth of 9 years. Who do I call to fix this or find out what the hell is going on?
I'm having a lot of trouble hearing, so Ryan,
yeah,
I pick up the laboring ore on this.
Sure, hello. I was able to hear it. The Federal Trade Commission, their website is actually very wonderful for consumer rights and information on these type of topics, and they have a whole section dedicated to credit reports and credit report reporting. They have step-by-step guides on how to dispute credit report errors. And this is a credit report error. They're not providing your credit history correctly, the length of it. And they provide addresses to the credit bureaus. I don't know which one you were looking at, TransUnion or whatnot. But they'll have the phone number there and all the information you need to dispute something on your credit report that's not accurate. You don't need to call the number of that sign on the telephone pole in your neighborhood saying they'll fix your credit in 30 to 60 days. Go on the internet, Google, you know, how to dispute credit report errors, and the government will provide you even a sample letter to provide to the credit bureaus to fix things like that. So I would definitely start there. And also the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was created, unfortunately, from the mortgage meltdown, has information about the same thing as well. So I would tap those resources and get that fixed.
And Elkhorn, if you haven't done so, it might be worth your while to check on one of the free credit reporting entities online that can show you reports from a couple of different bureaus and see if they're showing the same thing, or maybe it's a problem limited to one of the credit reporting agencies.
Yeah, generally the free credit reports are, you know, you didn't mention which one you got it from, but it sounds like you only looked at one, and it might just be to that one, and hopefully not all of them. But
Elkhorn, I don't know if you're still on the line. Thank you for joining us. It looks like you may have been cut off. I saw a little fumbling with the button in the other room. But feel free to call us back if you're no longer on the line, and I hope that we've been of help to you. I see another call is heading our way, but while it's there, we talked a bit about some of the other things. What about taxes? Is that something you can work with in bankruptcy?
Taxes, people have the concept, have a misconception usually that nothing can be done about taxes in bankruptcy, and that's just unfortunately incorrect, because there's a lot of things bankruptcy can do. Personal income taxes are dischargeable in bankruptcy if you have filed an honest tax return at least 2 years prior to the bankruptcy for a tax that has been due and owing to the government at least 3 years prior to the bankruptcy, and there has been no assessment in the last 240 days. Some of this stuff sounds a little confusing, I think, to consumers, but again, it may be an oversimplification to say this, but if you filed all your tax returns and you filed them on time or almost on time, you can probably discharge in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy all the taxes that are more than 3 years old. There is a process by which you can get what is called a tax transcript from the IRS, and it's very easy to get this report, and you get the report for each tax year that you owe money for, and your bankruptcy lawyer can look at that and be able to tell from the report. It's kind of like a dentist reading the x-rays of your teeth. And I keep talking about dentists because I've been going to a dentist a lot lately. And your bankruptcy lawyer can tell from these transcript reports which tax years you will probably be able to discharge in a bankruptcy. And for taxes that are too recent to be discharged in a bankruptcy, you may be able to deal with them comfortably through a Chapter 13 bankruptcy payment plan. So there's lots of ways to deal with this.
Elkhorn was on the line. It looks like we cut him off and he's back. But before I connect you through, we did have a caller that called in and wanted to know very simply who oversees the credit rating agencies.
I think that's done by the Federal Trade Commission. But that's just kind of a guess on my part.
Yeah, I mean, these are private, these are companies, you know, Experian. You can go by their offices as a corporation, TransUnion, same thing. These are companies, right? And, you know, that they are regulated. And, yeah, the federal government through the Federal Trade Commission and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau provide for guidelines on what can be listed in your credit reports and how long. So ultimately, it's the law that determines, you know, how they report and the length of time of negative history and all these things. But to dispute things with them, there's a process to do that with the various entities themselves.
And it's not a hard process. And I love the expression that Ryan used a little while ago when he told one of the callers, don't call somebody who has an advertisement nailed onto the telephone pole for credit repair. Those are
right.
Not the people to call. It is very easy to do this on your own. You don't need to pay anybody. You're entitled to have a credit report that is accurate. And if there's mistakes on the credit report and it's reporting things that are not correct, you have the right to have it changed. It's not a difficult process.
Elkhorn, I'm glad you're back with us. I don't know if you heard the entirety of the answer to your question, but welcome back to Your Legal Rights.
Anyway, it was mainly the CFPB, and then you mentioned a couple of other websites, which I missed.
The Federal Trade Commission, you know, if you were to Google Federal Trade Commission or FTC and how to dispute credit report errors, it'll be the first couple links on your search results. And just make sure you're on FTC.gov. And then you can also do an internal search on their website as well and get to that information.
Okay.
And it's wonderful. It's step by step. They give you a sample letter, and they give you all the contact information you need for the three major credit bureaus to dispute something of this nature. And I hope they fix that for you, because that's not okay.
Yeah. It basically is that somehow, like 9 years depth of my credit history disappeared from, I believe it's TransUnion.
Okay. Yeah, that's not good.
That should be something you can discuss directly with TransUnion. Things generally are reported only for a period of slightly more than 7 years, and it could be things that you've gotten used to seeing on your report just naturally reached the age limit where they don't show up anymore.
Yeah. But, you know, when that dropped off, my credit score dropped by about 40 to 50 points.
Well, they think you're 9 years younger, so
yeah,
maybe you should take that as a compliment also. Yeah, you just got 9 years back on your life. Unfortunately, that's going to negatively affect your credit.
Right.
I think you would, given that choice, happily make that trade. Elkhorn, thank you for joining us, and hope this was of some help to you. Thank you for joining us in Your Legal Rights.
And thank you very much.
Dennis from San Francisco, you're on Your Legal Rights.
Hello, thank you for your program. I'm calling just regarding the discharging of student loans. I did a little research and discovered that they are taxed at a capital gains rate, which I believe is around 30%.
If you discharge student loans in a bankruptcy case by obtaining what we refer to as the hardship discharge, there is no taxation of the debt that is discharged by bankruptcy. And that's true of credit cards, medical bills. Any debt you discharge in bankruptcy does not become taxable to you as income.
Yeah, and that's...
Okay, well, that's...
Yeah, that's been a major problem with... Even if you're issued a 1099, it's IRS Form 982, and hopefully... your tax professional will go through that, but it does not get counted as income, so that you have to pay taxes on it. That would truly defeat the purpose of the fresh start. It does happen, though. I have seen clients that have unfortunately paid taxes on a, you know, forgiven or canceled debt, and you know they need to amend their returns to get that off. But no.
Yeah, and in fact, Dennis, if you obtain forgiveness of a debt outside of the bankruptcy process, not through bankruptcy court, but just between the creditor and yourself, and they issue you a 1099C for the debt forgiveness to be, which they have to do legally to report the forgiveness as income. If you are financially insolvent at the time of the forgiveness, you should not have to pay a capital gains tax or an income tax on the forgiven debt. The IRS has a very easy-to-understand guide, tax guide, tax publication. There's a tax worksheet to attach to your tax return, and I think that any knowledgeable tax preparer can certainly fix that up for you.
Thank you very much.
Dennis, thank you for joining us on Your Legal Rights. We're nearing the end of the hour, and before we get to the end, there's a couple of things I wanted to ask you about before giving you each a moment or two to sum up. But you mentioned earlier about people getting calls and the number of calls from debt collectors and the like that can be fairly aggressive. But are all these calls legit? It seems to me there may be some issue with scam callers going around, whether they're saying they're for debt collectors or the IRS or the like. Do you want to take about a minute and talk about those?
Sure. I think, Ryan, you want to weigh in on that? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I know you can spend just as much time on it as I, unfortunately, because we hear all the stories every day. But, yeah, it's really, really bad. You know, even the caller IDs could have something on there that's spoofed. We have clients that have had calls that where the caller ID says it's truly the IRS or Internal Revenue Service, and they are not going to call you. They're going to send you a letter. But it's becoming more and more of a problem with the ability, you know, Google Voice to create a phone number or an alias that isn't actually true or correct. Were people getting fooled into providing Social Security numbers or personal financial information over the phone also? And so you really need to be on your toes and ask a lot of questions. And if you're not sure, you know, go with your gut. I think a lot of people that have sadly sent money when they shouldn't have, or were scared when they shouldn't have, you know, in their gut they knew, you know, something wasn't right here. You know,
sure.
I'm not sure what this is.
A legitimate debt collector, someone who is actually trying to collect a debt that you really legally owe, is not going to threaten you with being arrested or that you're going to go to jail. It's a serious violation of the law for them to do that. Their company could be shut down. So they're not going to do those stupid things. If a debt collector is telling you on the telephone, oh, you're going to go to jail because, you know, you've defrauded a federal bank, it's a hoax. They're just trying to shake you down for some money, and then they are going to disappear, and they're not calling about a debt that you owe. They're just calling people sometimes at random, and they get lucky if you happen to be a person who really did have an old credit card debt that you never paid, and you feel a little guilty about it, and you just assume that that bogus debt collector on the phone is calling about that particular debt, when the debt collector, the person on the phone, doesn't even know anything about it. They're just hoping to scare you into paying some money.
So with that, that'll be the last
warned.
And that'll be the last word, unless you'd like to take about 45 seconds and sum up any last thoughts you have. And Ryan, I'll give you the chance to do the same thing, 45 seconds to a minute each of you. Go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been a wonderful time. You know, I mentioned a couple big things that I wanted to get out there. One of them was, please don't raid your retirement account. You know, talk to a professional before you do that and take that loan or take that early withdrawal from that retirement account. It was so hard to get that money in there, and you can get relief from your debt and still keep that money. The other thing is, you know, don't do the head in the sand. Get some information sooner than later. Even if you're not going to do it or consider it, you know, get some information so you can make some better choices for yourself. And if you can't pay the money for your taxes, file your return, please. You know, not filing the return, the government will do what's called a substitute filed tax return. And that's really bad for me to help you get rid of taxes and bankruptcy. So even if you can't file the return or pay the money that you're going to owe on that tax return, at least file the return on time, and you'll give yourself a fighting chance down the road to do something about it.
And Leon, take about 45 seconds as well.
Okay. I just absolutely enjoy doing these programs. I love the fact that so many lawyers work with this program, this radio show, to provide free legal advice to the public. And I want the public to know that when they take advantage of the call a lawyer feature on your legal rights radio show, these lawyers are not getting paid anything for talking to you. And you're going to get legal advice that you need to have. Your creditors all have lawyers. They all get legal advice. Why shouldn't you get the same? And even if you're shy and you don't want to call the show or there's no opportunity for you to do that, there are so many bankruptcy lawyers who will give you a free consultation in their office, and they'll tell you everything you need to know to get through this, whether you hire them or not. There's just no reason for you not to have the legal advice that you need. Bankruptcy is not a do-it-yourselfer. It is very complex. The typical bankruptcy case probably has at least 65, 70 different sheets of paper that must be provided to the court. And without a knowledgeable lawyer, you're asking for trouble. About 50% of cases filed without a lawyer will not be granted.
And that'll be the last word on the subject. You've been listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in San Francisco. This is Jeff Hayden. Our thanks to you for listening, to our production assistant, Martin McLean, and at the controls, Joanne Marr. Thank you for listening and have a good night.
Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information.